Hello and welcome to Freedom's Way tonight.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Vicki. And it's Joan.
I know. Welcome. And welcome to all. If anyone has joined us from an archive version of this, we want you to understand that this is a live teleconference meeting. That means that people will be calling in from all over the place, and we'll give them about 3 to 5 minutes to get here before we begin. So,
okay.
Anytime that you all, you digital listeners, anytime you'd like to join us on our live teleconferences, you would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363 pound, spells free me, on your telephone keypad. So we welcome Joan, and would anyone else like to say hello just yet?
Thank you. Sure, they're coming.
I'm sure. Hello and welcome. Good evening, Vicki and Phyllis. Glad to have you with us.
Hello?
Welcome to Steve and Cindy and Joan, and we are working our way across the country.
Pray for you this weekend.
Ah, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. I guess I should star 6 now, right?
You can, or you can wait until I mute everyone's phone.
Okay, I'm just driving.
Or, you know, you can use the mute button on your phone. But then you'll have to, if you have something to say afterward, you'll still have to start to get back on the conference. Because I will mute the phones in just a couple minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I think he kept this up.
Anybody else want to say hey just yet? I think it's just now about 8:30.
Yeah.
Hello, hello. Hi, this is Vicki.
Hi, Mitch. Welcome.
Hi, sis. Thank you. Thank you for being here for us. Then. Thank you, ma'am. Hey, Mr. Bill. Hey, Pastor Bill. Love you guys.
Hey,
I'll mute out, brother. I'll mute out. I'm making all this noise.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Okay. All right. I'll mute out, too. Lord bless you all.
Yourself.
Okay. Anybody else?
Okay. Anybody else?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. You doing good?
And?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Amen.
Amen.
And you still have an echo.
You still have an echo
on your phone line.
It's my speak. It today is an echo day. That's all I can say for the phone. So I turned my speaker off.
Okay.
But then I can't really hear you. But what can I
say? You can turn it back on, or you can go ahead and
I'm gonna mute
star
out.
Six. Yeah, star mm-hmm. star six. And that way we won't
get
an echo.
Yeah, I'm gonna star six and then put it on speaker and see if it, you know, I'll do it like that.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
Oh, Okay. Anybody else want to say hello? I've got a couple of people that texted in. Hello. I am going to go ahead then and mute your telephones so that we can get started. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and welcome. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Becky. Our mission is to help you overcome and to come into your full true identity in Christ and enjoy the benefits and all of the blessings and power and authority that comes along with it. Anything we can do to help you grow into your full true identity, we are here and willing to help you do it. So that is our mission. Tonight we have our regular Monday night teaching. It's part two on overcoming shame. I'm going to pray us in and get started. It's powerful. So buckle your seatbelts and get ready. You will enjoy it and you will be blessed. Father God, we just thank you for this time in your word. We thank you that there is an anointing on this word to set your people free from all shame and all the results thereof. So we just thank you that your hand is on this message and that you will accomplish what you sent your word to do. It will not return void. And we, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over any unclean spirits that would try to blunt the power of this word, to divert its power or anything in that area, or cause any confusion in the minds of God's people. And I say, you get behind us, Satan, because God is coming through. And we just thank you, Lord, for this word again. We ask you to anoint it, and we say, Holy Spirit, have your way with us tonight so that we can grow to be more like you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So as we expose the lie of shame to the light of the truth of God, we can all begin to remove it forever from our hearts and lives. The Lord makes an appeal to each of us to recognize shame for the thief that it is and to give it up to the law of love. We who are created to be the glory of God have allowed the enemy to smother God's glory in shame. We want to repeat the verse that clearly points that out, and that's Psalms chapter 4, verse 2. Which states, O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. Our first session began to answer this appeal as we started to recognize our agreement with hell so we can turn our love back toward God and reject the lie of the devil. Unless we separate ourselves from shame, there's no way we can be the shining expression of God's glory.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So let's get some more understanding and some more freedom tonight. Because it is the truth that makes us free. And the truth is this. Jesus was shamed. He was shamed so that you and I could be free of shame and walk in his glory. Truth is not simply something to believe. It's not a thing we believe. It's not a good word. It is a person we need to know. When we are truly abiding in the Lord, then shame will have no hold on us. Because we're filled with truth. We are in truth. When we are in Christ, we are in truth. The links of lies that make up the chain of shame which binds us, those links are all forged in hell out of a primary lie that says, I am defective. There's something wrong with me. I'm defective. So these messages that we're bringing you of God's truth, they're designed to weaken the links and to break the chain of shame. The more we believe we are inherently flawed, the more our choices in life are lessened. I'm going to say that again. The more you believe you are inherently flawed, the more your choices in life are lessened. They are decreased. We feel dehumanized and become spiritually bankrupt when shame has become internalized so that we think, well, it's just me. I'm the one that's bad. I'm flawed. There's something wrong with me. Then that scripture that we know so well, we quote it so often about being a new creature, that's nothing more than head knowledge and lip service. It means nothing because in our hearts, we simply don't believe it. And here is that scripture, Phil. Would you read that one?
Sure. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So here's the key. We have to be in Christ, not in shame. Jesus was shame, so we don't have to live in it or with it. Lord, I wish I'd had this teaching so many years ago.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't
be able to think. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Dealing with shame is not an option. Jesus said, if you don't honor me, I won't honor you. In Mark chapter 8, verse 38 says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wow. Shame is a sin that will hold us in its grip until we call it out by name. We have to begin to recognize our personal responsibility and become committed to a life of love, a life of honesty, and a life of discipline. Otherwise, we may vacillate between neurotic behavior and character disorder caused by the functionally automatic responses of being shame-bound. Neurotic behavior exhibits itself in the automatic assumption that we are at fault whenever there's a conflict. And character disorder automatically assumes the conflict is always someone else's fault.
That's real. That's a real simple way to put it. I mean, you know, there are many different facets and dimensions, but basically that's it. Neurotic behavior automatically assumes that we're at fault, and character disorder automatically assumes it's somebody else's fault.
Wow. There's no balance in the inability to assess the situation with an objective eye for true personal accountability.
Wow. Hallelujah. You know, here's another truth that we all need to absorb. Listen with both your ears, both sets of your ears, inner ear, outer ear. The characteristics of our true identity are identical to those of Jesus Christ. He is what we can be if we fully follow the plan that God has for us free of shame. Now, admittedly, not one of us is yet the true and complete match to the person we're created to be. I believe that each one of us, all of you who are here, we have the desire to rise to the level of our intended creation. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. What generally happens is we see the person we are as not our true self, and we begin to focus on the difference, seeing what we perceive as flaws in our character. And then shame sets in, puts down roots, saps our joy, steals our creativity. So when we don't see that we're matching who we were created to be, we begin to focus on the things that make the difference. And we think it's a flaw in us. The devil helps us think that way. So we want to look briefly at a few door points of shame. Now, a door point is a certain situation or circumstance, a time in your life when shame came in. I'm sure we'll go into more depth of these particular door points later. But for now, we're just going to take a brief cursory look. It's going to spark some memory recall in every one of us, if you're listening, of situations we need to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with. Things we've kind of shoved off in the corner and said, well, I'm over that, or that's past, or that's settled, or I can't do anything about it anyway. And we just ignore it. So first of all, a big door point is generational shame. Feeling generational shame, that's like having a hole in your soul that feels as if it can't be filled. No matter what you try, there's this emptiness. For example, let's just consider the young boy who grew up in poverty, and he was shamed because his family was poor. Or maybe nobody in the family, even for generations, ever amounted to anything. They were drunks or criminals or maybe just down on their luck or whatever. But the kid was ashamed of his family circumstances. This person was driven. As he grew, he was driven into making money, trying to be rich to escape the shame. But the shame is still there. Being successful in the eyes of the world does not take the shame away. More than likely, there were word curses spoken over this little guy as well. Oh, you'll never amount to anything. You're just like your father. You'll probably go to jail just like your brother. There are other situations of generational shame as well. In generational shame, even though we ourselves aren't violating moral laws or living outside ethical standards, that feeling of shame remains in us. Hallelujah.
Another area of shame we want to talk about tonight is shame that enters because of the circumstances of a person's birth. There are several instances where shame enters, but the good news is that they can all be handled by the blood of the Lord Jesus. First, we have the situation where the mother wants to hide her pregnancy. This kind of shame, entering the spirit of the unborn child, causes the person to hide also. This person does not want to be seen and is very uncomfortable being noticed. Other people characterize the person as shy when in fact he is shame-bound. If the mother or father doesn't acknowledge the child, the resulting shame is the same. Conversely, when the actual birth is treated as a family affair where lots of people are in attendance, shame can result, especially if the birth is captured on film. This is the shame of nakedness felt by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were always naked, but were not ashamed until Satan's nature came in. We are born with both the traits of Satan and the nature of God, so the shame of the devil makes even a newborn feel shame at his nakedness.
Oh. Hallelujah. Remember that next time any of y'all are going to have a baby and you want to invite, you know, the world into the birthing room. Okay, then we have the case of unmarried parents and their, quote, unwanted child. You know, there's also a scriptural curse that has to be broken in this case before the shame can be overcome. This is the curse that causes a person to be unable to fit in so that they always feel like an outsider, and many times they're treated like an outsider. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, let me take just a minute to explain about curses. It is true that Jesus took all curses, and that includes the curse of illegitimacy. However, we have to appropriate what he did by taking responsibility, forgiving the people involved, repenting, and that way we can apply into our lives the freedom from curses that Jesus died to give us. Even though Jesus made the way for our salvation 2,000 years ago at the cross, none of us were born saved. None of us were born free of curses or illness or poverty or emotional instability either. Being born again puts us into eternal life. We appropriated that piece of our salvation when we believed and accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf and knew that he is resurrected and lives today. So someone has to recognize and take possession of the curse in order to give it up to the Lord. You cannot disown something unless you own it. I hope that made sense to you. You know, the blood of Jesus is all we need, but he didn't come down off the cross and go through the crowd and smear his blood on everybody. We got to go there. Amen?
Amen.
You cannot give away something that you don't own.
So we have to recognize and take possession of the curse in order to give it up to the Lord. Somebody has to own it in order to disown it.
There is also shame and rape. When a child is conceived under this kind of trauma, the child's spirit picks up the trauma and shame and distress of the mother. In another situation, there may have been a multiple birth where one of the siblings died. The one or more that survived may receive shame for having lived.
Yes, the psychologists call that survivor's guilt.
If a child survives an abortion attempt, there's tremendous shame involved. Not only are they unwanted, the one who was supposed to protect them tried to kill them. And then, of course, is gender rejection. Daddy wanted a boy and you were a girl, or maybe your parents wanted a girl and you were a boy. Either way, shame sets in. This is an especially deep wound in those women whose generational roots are in the country whose culture values men and devalues women.
There's still a lot of those in the world.
Amen. Other door points of shame include shame being used as a motivator by parents or teachers, especially in comparison to another. For instance, a parent might have said, "You should be more like your brother," or "Why can't you make good grades like your sister?" Or, "Other kids in the class don't have the problems you do learning this material. It's not that hard." Then there's teasing and labeling. "You're so skinny, you could hide in the shadow of a grapevine." "Four eyes, klutz, Miss Piggy," whatever it was that you were labeled with brought you shame, and even if you were able to laugh about it outwardly. Ouch. Kids can be very, very cruel to their equals or to the people in their classes, and most teachers aren't paying much attention anyway. So another shame bearer is that of unrealistic expectations placed on us. Often as children, we were expected to act beyond our age, experience, or wisdom. Maybe you were put in charge of younger siblings and someone got hurt or something went wrong. The message you received was, "You are inadequate." Along the same line as the parent that raised the standard after the task was finished. "Your report card looks pretty good, but why didn't you make straight A's?" This is another pattern that follows us into adulthood, and those who were subjected to this kind of shaming often become the perpetrators of it toward others.
And they don't even realize they're doing it. It's like, they'll ask you to do something and you don't jump up right away and do it. So then you're shamed for taking too long or not doing it the way they would have done it. Or, you know, the task is over, but yet it's not over spiritually.
Amen. Someone asks you to do something and you...
I didn't know that. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. Well.
Go ahead.
And you do it only for them, to them say thanks, but why did you do it that way? Or correct you for taking so long or something else. Again, you get the feeling that you're inadequate because you didn't, you think you messed up.
Yeah. Yep. I'm guilty.
So punishment that we receive for doing something innocently can also bring shame into our hearts. There's the little kid who hears a dirty word, and then he repeats it without knowing what he's saying, and he gets punished and shamed. The shock and disappointment of the parent, rooted in the parent's own shame, causes mom or dad to react in a way that shames the child. And finally, trauma. Trauma creates fertile ground for shame to grow. Now, there are two kinds of trauma. Here's another, listen up. Two kinds of trauma bring shame. The first is characterized by lack. It centers around things we did not receive. Love, affection, acceptance, positive attention, our basic needs met, that kind of thing. The second kind of trauma is one we think of most commonly, and that's characterized by what we did receive. Those hurtful, harmful things that were said to us, the curses that were spoken over us, the labels that we got, the abuse that we suffered at the hands of those who were supposed to nurture us, and even from strangers. And it all works together to keep us bound in shame.
That's a force.
One of the things that makes shame so hard to deal with is that shame-bound people suffer in silence. Wow. And most of us, even if we can see there's a problem, don't reach out for help.
We don't reach out for anybody else either.
By not trying to help a person talk through a situation or by glossing over it, we actually assist shame. Every single one of us has needs, and not one of us should be ashamed of that. According to behavioral science, people have a few common needs. These are the following. They need to be loved unconditionally. They need to feel we have intrinsic value.
It's born in us.
They need to feel a measure of power in our lives. I need to be acknowledged or known. A need for an avenue by which to be heard so we feel important. I need to feel we are protected by someone. I need to feel understood when we express ourselves.
Amen. These are basic, common needs of all people. All people. You know, as Phil was going through this little list, I was really caught by need to be acknowledged or known. You know, I used to say, love me or hate me, I don't care, but don't ignore me. Don't ignore me. You know, when people around you act like you're not even in the room, and they talk around you and you're not included and all of that, you're that need to be acknowledged, that need to be known, is not met. And, you know, it's okay to need these things. The truth is they are God-given. We are actually designed by God with these needs inside. It is normal to need these things. God did not create us to be independent. Hear me, church. He created us to be dependent on Him and interdependent with each other. Dependent on God, interdependent with each other. You know, in the world and the world's way of doing things, maturity is thought to equate to independence. How well can we make it on our own? That's how mature you are in the eyes of the world. But in the kingdom of God, that is upside down and backwards, because maturity is measured by our dependence on our Creator and our willingness to call on others and to assist others. It's all about relationship. It's not about what I can do. The lie from hell is going to tell us that needing something is an expression of selfishness in some way, when in fact it's part of the growing up process for us to recognize and express a need and to receive that need met without shame. Grow up. So let's all see the truth right now that God sometimes uses people to meet these basic common needs, but not always. He himself is not only capable of meeting each and every one of these needs himself, he is willing to do it, and he is ready to do it. And later on in these teachings, we will give you scripture to prove it. But the catch is, we have to allow him to meet those needs. So for those of you out there who do not have a special someone in your life that fills any of these needs, then turn to God. Turn to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. You will find that he loves you unconditionally. He assures you of your value. He gives you power. He knows you, and he knows you best, even better than you know yourself. He listens to you so that you can know you're important. He protects you, and he understands you.
Thank you, God.
The last thing to talk about in this session is shame as it relates to sexual stuff. Lots of times shame is linked to body parts. When children are simply being curious and discovering things about themselves. Take, for instance, the way a child learns to touch his nose and say nose, and everybody is pleased and encouraging. That progresses to her ears and eyes and fingers and toes. But then one day, little Billy comes into a room full of company, pulls his pants down, and says, "My pee-pee." What happens then? Mom jerks him up by the ear or arm and angrily takes him out of the room. Instead of being pleased that Billy discovered and named another body part, his parents punish him and cause him shame. What he thought would bring him praise became a source of shame, and now he has to disown his own body parts.
Wow.
In another example, shame is prevalent in young children who are sexually abused by relatives, especially if they are told, "This is our secret," or "I'm doing this because I love you." Shame makes it practically impossible for this person to develop a healthy sexual relationship later in life with a husband or wife. Love itself can become twisted and shameful. In 2 Samuel, when Ammon deceived and raped his half-sister Tamar, she said, "Where will I take my shame?" That was her quote. 2 Samuel 13:11-13. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, "Come lie with me, my sister." And she answered him, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not you this folly, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go?"
The thing is, there's no place we can take shame except to the cross of the Lord Jesus. No place else. Like Tamar, most people suffer shame in silence. Shame is used by the kingdom of darkness to steal the value and self-esteem of women. These are not current statistics, but at the last time that I looked these up, statistically, 1 in 4 women in America is sexually abused before age 16. That's staggering. And it may be worse now. Just as we as individuals have lost our identity, our society has lost its identity as well. And like I say, I haven't seen current statistics, but 10 years ago, there were over 60 million victims of sexual abuse in America. There were 75 million alcoholics. And physical violence was occurring regularly in 15 million homes. Shame is part of it all. Hurting people hurt people. Shame damages our hearts, and we then damage others. Because we can't be vulnerable or intimate with a person, we then find other avenues of intimacy. Just think about it. Alcoholics are intimate with their drinking. Workaholics are intimate with their jobs. Pornography and other things become outlets for intimacy. But it is all false. And false intimacy brings more shame into our lives. Help us, Lord. In the New Testament, there are a number of examples of Jesus exposing the shame of the Pharisees. Shame from whatever source can bind a person to religious tradition as we try to cover our shame by working to prove someone else is wrong about how they believe, or to prove we're not inadequate, or we're not unworthy, or we're not indecent. Religious people hide their shame in performance and legalism. But love will always stir it up. Jesus exposed the Pharisees for their lack of love when on the Sabbath he healed the woman who had the spirit of infirmity. Religious people responded in anger, which is a typical response of shame-bound people. We are instructed to live our lives in such a way that no one can push our shame button. In order to do that, we have to be free of shame and walk in love. Sounds simple, and it is simple, but it is not easy. When we have dealt with shame, then whatever shame the enemy tries to bring us will be turned back on him. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
One Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that's whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. I know there's a stirring in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit is moving in each and every one of us. He's already brought to mind a lot of different circumstances in our lives where we allowed shame to come in and begin to rule over us. So now it's time to own up to that sin and evict a few shame spirits from our thoughts and lives. Okay, once again, Father, I know that many of the things that happened to your people when they were children were not in your plan for them. I ask that you turn aside distraction from the world and hell that would draw any person away from participating in this prayer, and that you open our ears to hear and our hearts to understand and receive your truth. I ask for an increase of your Holy Spirit presence in every heart so that the different situations you want to deal with are brought to mind. We recognize that you, Lord, are the deliverer, and we can do nothing without you. Give each one of us the courage to forgive those who shamed us and to forgive ourselves. We trust you, Lord, and we are listening. Thank you for freeing us from even more shame.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. So I'm going to invite you all to pray with me, and let's shut some of those door points off and get a little more free and a little more free each and every week. We like to pray out loud so that the angels of God can hear you and respond, coming to our aid, and that the devils in hell can hear you and know that you don't want them around anymore. Amen?
No.
So pray with me. Father God, I come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I admit to you that I have believed I am flawed. I am somehow defective. There's something wrong with me. I repent to you, Father, for believing that lie, for receiving it, and for living it. I renounce the lie of the enemy right now, because I have your truth that you don't make mistakes, and you are my creator. You do not create imperfection, and you are my creator. I commit my life to you right now. And I commit to love, honesty, and discipline, Lord, so that I can
loose myself
from feelings of worthlessness. I break agreement with every spirit of worthlessness. Forgive me, Lord, for not taking personal responsibility. And for blaming others when there's a conflict. I've also blamed myself and assumed that conflict was my fault. Forgive me for that too, Lord. I can see that shame has taken me out of balance. And I ask that balance be restored. I break every spirit or spirit guide of neurotic behavior. Or character disorder. Lord, I don't want those things in my life. I can see
That I need balance.
I need balance.
And right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Right now, in the name of the Lord.
I forgive my ancestors.
Forgive my ancestors.
For opening doors to shame.
Opening doors.
And establishing generational shame. In my life and in my family. I forgive those people. And also those who used words of shame to hold that shame in place in my life. I release all these people into your hand, Father. And I ask you to forgive me for accepting their words. And allowing their words to define me. I forgive anyone who brought shame into my life because of the circumstances of my birth. And I release them into your hand. I take responsibility for all curses that attach themselves to me through generational iniquity or birth circumstances, including the curse of illegitimacy. And I give those curses to the Lord Jesus Christ.
I forgive those who shamed me
in an effort to motivate me, using shame as a motivator. I forgive those who traumatized me and those who shamed my nakedness. I ask your blessings on them, Lord. I ask your truth to flow into their hearts. And I thank you, Lord God, for showing me it's okay to have needs. And for showing me that you can fulfill all of them. Father, I will allow you to work in my heart. So that I can receive your truth that dispels the lies of shame. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for truth that frees me from shame. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever all generational cords of iniquity, every evil soul tie that has held any of this kind of shame in place in your life. I cut through those cords completely. I send back in the Spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you. And I take back for you every godly thing that you were meant to have. I pull down words that would bring or hold shame in place in your life, that would bring a curse of shame into your life. I pull down those names that you were called as a child, the words spoken in using shame as a motivator, the words spoken that brought trauma. In the name of Jesus, I pull those words out of the atmosphere. I crush them under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare they will die and bear no fruit in your life. I speak to that lie and the lie and devil behind it that you are flawed or defective. I speak to that spirit that has told you you're not good enough, you're defective, you're flawed. I cast you out. You are a lie from hell, and you are a lying devil, and I send you to the pit in the name of Jesus Christ. I cast out every spirit or spirit guide of worthlessness, neurotic behavior, character disorder, and every spirit of illegitimacy and sexual sin. Get up, get out, and go. Loose them completely. Leave from every cell in their bodies. I send you into the consuming fire of the living God now. And I declare that burning coals fall on you and you cannot rise again. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you for truth that makes us free. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with your truth. Filling us with your true identity, Lord. It's already in there. Help us see it. Lord, nobody is going to see what is in us until we do. Help each person, Lord, to recognize the glory that you put within us in the name of Jesus. Fill us with your purity and your power and grow your Holy Spirit fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If you have a comment or a question, you will have to push the *6 keys on your telephone keypad. If you got anything to say, that will unmute your phone. Then if you have also pushed the mute button on your phone, you'll have to unmute your phone. Praise the Lord. Comments or questions?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Am I echoing?
No, you're not.
Okay. I can't wait till we can get this front room done and get you over here teaching this again, because it's better the second time around.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, you got better understanding, you know what I'm saying, because you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I can't wait. I just can't wait. Good stuff.
Amen. Well, I'm ready. Get it ready.
Well, believe me, we're by the end of the year, we're working fast we can.
Okay. Sounds good to me. And then you get that other property done in Georgia, and we'll have a big conference up there.
Yeah, but Lord says I'm going to start it here. So I was like, okay.
Oh,
no
good.
Problem.
Yeah, that's good.
He wants it. He wants me experienced when I get to Georgia, because I'm gonna be dealing with strangers. You know what I'm saying? Total strangers.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Okay.
That's the reason I'm trying to suck it out of you.
Okay. Well, I understand.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Right.
So who else wants to, yeah, and anybody out there that wants to invite us, we welcome.
Boy, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Feel so much more relief.
Well, we ain't gonna
pick
the truck.
Thank you for praying it out, Lily. Thank you, Lord.
We got to pray.
Thank you,
baby.
Yep.
Yeah, it's another thing we've got to get done.
Yeah, we got a godchild there. He's a good boy. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, but we got to curse him.
Yeah, Love Jesus. He's a good boy.
Hallelujah. Who else has a comment or a question?
Hey, it's Gretchen.
Hi, honey.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Vicki. Thank you so much and Phil for tonight. So many different subtopics that are so deep that are just part of it, you know. It's just there's a lot in there. But the one thing I guess my takeaway is I love the way that you present the gospel in the fact that you have to take responsibility to get free. And it was very clearly stated tonight. I think we all need to hear it again and again and again and then again. But not to the point that it's not without grace. And I think you do that in a very important way. And I just pray that that each one of those sublayers becomes a thing that is transmuted into God's glory, you know, that only He can do as we, I guess, just let His glory pour out of that broken place. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much.
Bless you, Gretchen. Thank you. Yes.
It's just so many things. It touches each one of us. And there's, I know we're going to get into the shame-based cultures and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, my daughter was born illegitimate. And I can see the truth of the word. It is true, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I don't need to go rambling on or whatever, but I just appreciate that you speaking the truth and the teachings, even though it's very uncomfortable and people really have a hard time listening to it and dealing with it, and you've made it very easy in any way possible that shame can. So thank you. Yay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, she does present
thank
it.
You.
Well.
Hello, Vicki. It's Joan.
Thank you.
I got off for a little bit. It was wonderful and very needed. And I wanted to ask, because I was driving through some of it, and when you said about the basic needs of us, can you say them again? Love, can you mention, or I hate to bring that up, but
sure.
I don't hate to bring that up, but I meant, would you please? Because I don't have it.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Common needs of people.
Love.
A need to be loved unconditionally. A need
thank
to
you.
Feel we have intrinsic value.
Mm-hmm.
A need to feel a measure of power in our lives. A need to be acknowledged or known. A need for an avenue by which to be heard so that we feel important.
Okay, that's great.
A need to feel we're protected by someone, and a need to feel understood when we express ourselves.
Great. Amen.
And like I said, you know, in later sessions, we're going to go through those needs again and how God meets them and scriptural proof that He meets those needs when there's
and
no one in our lives.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. you mentioned about the neurotic and the what was the other thing? The
character
neurotic
disorder.
And, yeah, could you just say those the definition?
Sure. Neurotic behavior is to always think that you're at fault whenever there's a conflict. It's my fault. It must be my fault. I'm at fault here.
Mm-hmm.
And character disorder is to always believe it's someone else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You're not ever wrong. It's their fault. You wouldn't be doing what you're doing if they didn't do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their fault. That is character disorder. Mm-hmm. So that you don't have balance. You can't look at conflict from an objective point of view at all. If you're neurotic, it's always going to be your fault. And if you have character disorder, it's always going to be somebody else's fault.
That's when anger gets in, you said. Okay. What?
Okay.
No,
thank
you.
It's all right.
Wonderful. That was great. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jill. Thank you.
And if you missed it,
anybody,
there's a phone number. Right?
Yeah.
You can hear it again.
There is a phone number. You'll have to just text me, and I will get that to you. I won't have it until tomorrow. But if you want to listen to it again, it will eventually be on the website. I don't know when. I got to get in touch with my web guy and see how he's doing. I haven't looked at it for a while. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, I think Rick said that. I thank you so much. All right. Thank you. You're great.
You're welcome. Any other comments or questions tonight? Good questions and comments. Thank you so much. Okay. Hearing no other comments or questions, I am going to turn the close of the meeting over to Pastor Phil to seal this word and bless us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So if everybody would just mute your phone, you can just push the mute button on your telephone so we have clear lines.
Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about everybody on the line, but this series certainly speaks to me and more clearly than the last time I went through it. So hopefully this time it can be going for real, for forever.
I think we all need refreshers every once in a while.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. I ask you to seal it in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to receive this and to process it and to grow in it and to get free in this area once and for all. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing on this word. Thank you that it is accomplishing what it was sent forth to do. It does not return to you void, and we just are appreciative of that, Lord. We're appreciative of all that you're doing in this area, in our lives, that sets us free. Hallelujah. I come against any spirit of retaliation. I bind you, Satan, and say, you get behind us in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not retaliate for us receiving freedom from shame. So I thank you, Lord, that you're encamping your angels around your people to protect them from any attacks of the enemy. Thank you, Lord. And as Aaron blessed the people of God, the children of Israel, in Numbers, the 6th chapter, I'm going to bless you with the Aaronic benediction, first in Hebrew and then in English. God bless you as you hear and receive. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai panav eilecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you peace, give you shalom. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Thank you for your peace, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for opening our eyes in so many areas through your ministry. We thank you for that. We thank you for the freedom. We thank you for the protection against retaliation. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness in all areas in our lives. And we worship you with all our heart, with all our minds, with all our strength. We give you glory. We bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, hallelujah.
And we will be here in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. That's Eastern Time. God bless you all. Bye now.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Good night. Good night. God bless you too.
Good night. Thanks, everyone.